Forrest Gump dies and goes up to heaven. And he had a great life, but a little bit challenging. So he meets St. Peter, who's at the pearly gates. And St. Peter says, Forrest, you've done a lot of good things. You've done a lot of good movies, but you haven't quite done the things it takes to get into heaven. So I talked with the boss, and I'm going to be able to ask you a couple of questions. And depending on how you answer those questions, you go here or you go to the other place. Forrest said, well, that's cool. First question, a little bit easier. First question, how many days are there in a week? He said, that's easy, too. He said, two? What do you mean two? Today and tomorrow. Okay, Forrest, okay, fine. Let's go on. Okay, how many seconds are there in a year? It's getting harder now, Forrest. He said, that's easy, too. He said, how many? 12. Forrest, how'd you come up with 12? January 2nd? February 2nd? Okay, fine. He said, on this one you should know. And this is going to decide, I'm going to throw out the rest of them. This is going to decide whether you come to heaven or not. Just like in the scripture. But you're going to go through the pearly gates and you got the goal. You got it all for us on this question right here. What is the name of the son of Jesus? He said, that's easy. What's the name? Andy. Andy? What do you mean Andy? Just from that song. What song? Andy walk with me, Andy talk with... Okay, I want to get to the lesson now. Thank you very much. Okay. That was based on a true story. Luke 8:51, if you turn with me there. Luke 8:51. We're going to be talking about the master's touch today. The master's touch. When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. Stop wailing, Jesus said. She is not dead, but asleep. They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, my child, get up. Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Let's pray. Most Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, God, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. The reason I'm up here is because Dion and Christy are still up in Michigan. And some of you may know or some of you may not know, but Christy's sister passed away just recently. And it was unexpected. And of course, it's, you know, a blow to the family and friends and so many people they know. And we're fortunate because the Wellens went up to be there at the funeral. And he called me and told me a little bit about it. And Kathy was somebody very, very special. She definitely was touched by the master. At the funeral, people talked about, she was a music teacher and also like a worship leader, director of music at the church that she went to. And people came and talked about how she had touched them in such a special way that they changed their career or continued their career in music just from being touched by her. Musicians and directors of music and teachers that were touched by her and decided through her and through her passion that they also wanted a career and a life in music. So many people. And I guess at one point, 10 people from 10 different years got together and they sang in her behalf. She definitely touched a lot of people. That was her gift, music, and she took that gift and shared it. And she was a blessing, even in her passing, to people, because people were encouraged by looking at her life and looking at what she had done in her life. She touched people. She had been touched by God. We're fortunate to have Dion up there also, representing us and representing his family. And Chuck told me that he spoke. And he didn't just speak from the heart, but he spoke from the spirit. He brought people in from the different churches and talked about Kathy and talked about God. And I'm just going by what Chuck told me, just did a great job in touching those people through his spirit in that situation. That's such a hard situation, but he really blessed everybody there. And he called them to focus on God and not just on what happened, but what had happened for so many years. And what would continue to happen because of who Kathy had touched. And Chuck shared that many people went and said, Dion did a great job, and it wasn't Dion, though, was it? It was God that had touched Dion many years ago and had allowed Dion to touch people through his speaking. We're so blessed to have Dion and also Christy. So, you know, give them a hug when they come back. And that's what the Master's Touch is all about. Kathy had been touched by the Master, touched by God. And she went on and touched a lot of people. Dion, again, and Christy had been touched. And they went on to touch a lot of people. Kind of paying it forward. So they have a legacy. Dion's touch also brought people together. Everybody has different gifts, and we're going to talk a little bit about that, the Master's touch. Let's go to Mark 8:22. Let's talk about that a little bit. Jesus' ministry was a ministry of touch. Now, many times, people, you know, he had his disciples around him, and as they walked through different cities and the countryside, many things what they did was to try to police the area. Everybody wanted to come up and see Jesus and talk to Jesus. And a lot of times what they needed to do was to keep people off. If you read the scripture, you'll see, hey, you know, get back, you know, jump back. This is the man. He doesn't want to talk to you, he doesn't want to see you. And what did Jesus usually do? He said, wait a minute, guys. I'm going to go, I want to talk to that person. I want to touch that person. I want to speak with them. I want to tell them about God, what God has in store for them. But the guys always thought they were kind of helping them out by doing that kind of a police state kind of thing. And in Mark 8:22, let's read that a little bit, what happened there. They came to Bethesda, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to what? To touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, do you see anything? He looked up and said, I see people. They look like trees walking around. Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, don't go into the village. Jesus touched this man and changed his life. If you're blind, and all of a sudden you can see, of course, your life is going to change. Now, I went to college at Oberlin College, big school. And we had a guy there that was Sam Lane. I talk about him sometime. He used to play cards with us. And we'd play basketball. And we did all kinds of things with Sam. And Sam always wanted to win. And we played cards. We had to say what the card was and that kind of thing. And Sam didn't win a whole lot. But Sam was a magnificent musician. He could get on a piano, and he could play anything by ear. He knew all the notes. One time a train was coming by there at Oberlin, and he said what the note was of the train. He said, that's an E, that's an F, that's a G, that's a train. Ooh, it came out like that. He was magnificent. The only challenge that Sam had, which he didn't think was a challenge, was he was blind. He'd been blind from birth. And sometimes I tell him, you know, we beat him in bid whist and spades. Y'all know about that, but we beat him in bid whist and spades. I said, Sam, don't expect to win because you're blind. He said, I'm not really blind. He said, I still can see, you know, and he was a Christian. He played in the church and that kind of thing. He said, I can see. It's just that I'm just not as good a player as you. I said, Sam, okay. But Sam had been touched by the Master a long time ago, so he didn't look at the fact that he was blind as a handicap. He said, there's a lot more people that are more blind than me, even though they can see. I'll never forget Sam. And now he's a musician. He travels the world playing. This blind man can see now. So that's the thing. Jesus had a ministry of touch. I think he calls us to do the same thing, to have a ministry of touch. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let's look at that. Second Corinthians 5:17 talks about this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Once Jesus has touched you and you accepted Jesus, you're a new person. You're different. You're not like you used to be. Some of you can recognize that. Some of you have been Christians a long time. When you're first a Christian and Jesus touched you, things change. You know, you don't drink the same things you drink. You don't go to the same places you go. you aren't the same person you are. You know, when I meet people from my high school days now, when I see them, and they say, "Hey, why don't we go out and have a drink?" I said, "Well, we can, but I don't know if Dairy Queen is open right now." I said, "I don't do that anymore." I said, "What do you mean you don't do that anymore?" I said, "Well, I'm a Christian." And I said, "Well, I don't drink Coke 45 anymore." I said, "I don't do that anymore." I said, "I've been changed." He said, "Well, that's okay. Let's just go clubbing or whatever." One guy said, "Let's go club and meet some women." I said, "Well, I don't do that anymore either." I said, "I have one woman I meet, and that's my wife. If I try to meet any other woman, her attorney would tell me not to do it." So, you know, and sometimes when I talk to the people I used to be with, I don't realize how much God has changed me until I talk with them, because some of them haven't changed. And I'm not putting them down, but I thank God that I'm a new creature now, a new creation. So God has touched me, and God has touched all of you. You're special because God decided and you decided, let's put this act on the right trail, on the right track. Let's take a different pathway. Jeremiah 29:11. He has plans for all of us. And once he touched you, he starts moving you down those plans as you've accepted his plans. Each of us has a different pathway. We talked about the blind man. Let's see what else is on these notes. An example of Jesus touching people, he changed people not just physically, but also spiritually, emotionally, and mentally. What has God called us to do? Matthew 28:18. Let's take a look at that to find out what God has called us to do once we've been touched. Matthew 28:18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." You know, once we've been touched by God, then we have a mission. You know, we aren't just supposed to sit home or just read our scriptures. We're supposed to go out and make disciples. And sometimes we're a little bit lacking in that. You know, we don't want to be a CIA Christian, FBI Christian. Nobody knows that we're Christian or nobody knows what we do. We need to go out and mingle and talk to people. If the people you work with don't know you're Christian, I mean, what's the point of your ministry? You know, I used to work at Doctor's Hospital, and I always told people that I was a Christian. I needed to do that. You know, everybody wants to share a dirty joke with you or show you something crazy or go out and do something crazy. Some of those nurses, man, they're wild after 7:30. I'll tell you that. Simple as that. And, you know, they want to go here and there. I said, "Well, is your husband coming or anything?" "No, he's not coming. I'm going to have some fun." I said, "Well, that's a blessing, you know. I won't be there, but people were just so wild. I told people I was Christian. And a lot of times they'd invite me, which is fine with me. But many times my ministry there was to pray with people or just speak and encourage people. I remember one young lady, I saw her not that long ago. I'm a dialysis nurse. She'd been on dialysis some 20-something years now. And I remember dialyzing her back in the 80s. She was at Doctor's Hospital, and she had a fever about 105, and they'd take her to surgery, and they didn't know whether she was going to make it or not. So I was taking her on the elevator, about 6 or 7 other people that are rushing to surgery, the surgeon and everybody there, and she said, "Before we go, Charlie, I want you to pray for me." I said, "Well, you want me to do it here, or can we go in our prayer closet, or what? I want you to do it right here. I want you to pray for me." She said, "I don't want them to move. I don't want to go anywhere. We have to pray." And so I prayed for her. And, you know, God healed her. She's still around. And that was some 15 years ago. And that was a blessing for me. And it was good for the other folks to see that. That sometimes we need to take time and pray. So once God has touched you, we have a mission to go out and touch other people. Now, how can we do that? What are some of the things we can do? For one thing, we have all been given spiritual gifts to help build God's kingdom. These gifts may be utilized to master, touch someone. An example of this is Christy Frazier. Her singing. Now, we have many great singers here, but when Christy sings, there's something special about it. I'm not sure if you feel that or not. I mean, I couldn't believe it. One day I told her, I said, "Boy, you're singing better. You'd be a sister. You're just slamming out there, girl. You're slamming." And then one day she sang a song up here. And that was even before I was coming to church here. I made that comment to her. I went up to her, almost tears in my eyes. I said, "Hey, you got to do me a favor." She said, "What?" I said, "When I die, sing that song at my funeral." I mean, I told her that. And it sounded crazy, but she said she would. And she said she had other requests like that. She touches people so much by her singing. It's a gift from God, isn't it? And she has utilized it to help bring people to Christ and help encourage and share people, you know, share things with people. Singing. So many people can sing, but they don't use it to build the kingdom. We all been given our own spiritual gifts. Everybody has a spiritual gift. We even used to have a writing thing to figure out what people's spiritual gift was. But most people know. If you don't know, ask your friend or family what your gift is. They'll tell you. You have a gift of a smile, a hug, encouragement, teaching, so many different things, your spiritual gift. We need to use those to build the kingdom. Some examples of it is praying. James 5:16, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. There are some folks that when things go wrong, they simply say, "What? Hey, let me pray for you." And they grab your hand and pray. And we're uncomfortable. "Well, you want to do it right here, or what's going to happen? You know what I mean? Am I going to blow up, or what's going to, you know?" But there's some people that have that gift right there, and then they will pray for you. That's a spiritual gift. We all need to be able to pray for and with people, don't we? Do we do it enough? I don't think we do. We need to encourage people through prayer. You can do that every day. You can do it here. It's always a blessing when the elders come and pray for people. Many people don't come forward, though. You know, out of how many people we have, we'll have two people come forward. And I know more people need prayer about different things, about their job, about physical things, about monies, you know. So we need to be able to allow people to pray for us. Some people, that's their spiritual gift, to pray. And we need to be able to allow people to pray for us, but also to pray for people. If you got somebody having a hard time that you know about, you can give them a call. Say, "Hey, you might want to pray over the phone." God still will. It's okay. The phone lines are still okay to pray for. And how about now the young folks over there, they have their telephones and you get text messages. My son Morgan is over there and we had to change his plan because he does over 1,000 text messages a month. So if maybe we could have maybe 5 or 6 of those prayer text messages, PTMs, hello, LOL, you got to know what I'm talking about, okay. Maybe that could change some things. How many people here have gotten a prayer text message? It's interesting, isn't it? You got MySpace, you have a God space, you got all kinds of stuff. How about some prayer and some encouragement over there? Praying is something that we can use to change the world. It's simply like, oh my G, we could change the world by prayer through whatever means possible, so we need to be able to do that. Something else is service. Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we don't give up. You know, serving, you know, and serving doesn't have to be necessarily serving in our armed forces as Alex does. We appreciate that. In Alex's encouragement, he comes up and does such a great job. Great guy. I appreciate it. And all the people here who are in armed services and served or whatever, that's service. But service can be cutting the lady's grass next door, babysitting, sharing a meal when someone is sick. We just need to get in our minds that we need to serve, that we need to do some things. Then we have a Guyana ministry, and they need a number of things. They need money, they need help, they need prayer. You can serve. If you don't know what to do, go ask Greg over there. "Hey, Greg, I have $1,000 in about a month's time. What can I do with it?" Yeah, I'm just saying, there's so many ministries. And something else that we got to take care of, we have a community dinner here once a month. And we missed the last one. Our guys usually come and help. But, you know, we have 50 to 80 people come here once a month to our church. And how many people do we have here to serve? We don't have as many people to serve. I mean, if you come on Saturday, I think our next one is the 26th of June, of July, around 7 o'clock. We come here around 5 o'clock, 5. Bring some food and some things like that. And just come help serve. God has placed those people here for a reason. They didn't just come here to eat. They came to, what did Jesus say? I'm the what? The bread of life. They came here to find Christ. They came here to get a hug, a kind word. You know, if your ministry is serving, please come out and hug somebody. sit with somebody and talk with somebody, share some tears, share some excitement. People want to belong. They want a kind word. The world is so rough out there on people. They come to church hoping to find love and caring. If you can, come out to the community dinner and just share and serve. That's another ministry there. Contributing to the needs of others. Again, the scripture, give generously if that is your gift. We have some wealthy people here in our congregation. Can you raise your hands? The people have a lot of, the elders are looking around. Yeah. You know, I used to go to another church. There's a guy named Chris there, had a regular job, regular guy, single guy. But for something, one of his gifts was to give. When something came up, somebody needed money, needed time, Chris would give hundreds of dollars, even thousands of dollars. And I asked him one time, I said, Chris, where does the money come from? He said, I'm just pretty good with money, and I save up for this kind of stuff. His spiritual gift was giving, and also his time. We would do things at camp with the kids or car washes, and Chris was there, and he was a busy guy. That was his gift, giving. If that is your gift, you know, financially or spiritually or time-wise, give, and God will give to you. Pressed down, shaken up, will be given back to you, as in Luke. You know, God is looking for givers. He's looking for people to serve. And you can do that. You don't have to go out of your way. You know, we have people here that need babysitters sometime. You can just see the kids that are raising a joyful noise sometime here in the congregation. Just ask them, hey, sometime can you guys want to go out on a date? You know, you want to have us over to babysit or whatever? Or can we make you a meal so you don't have to cook? We have people here that need grass cut or lawns taken care of. We have a lot of people that need served. If you're able to do it, go do it. God is going to bless that. If you're too busy to do it, something's not right, is it? We have to have time for God's work. We have to have time. Another part of that, if somebody wants to serve you guys, allow them to. When somebody comes and says, hey, I noticed, you know, your clothes have been real dirty. Is your washing machine, you want me to clean them for you? You got to say, yeah, come clean them, you know? You got to allow people to serve you. We have a problem with that, too. We have pride, don't we? Or you know somebody, you guys don't have pride, but you know somebody might have it. So we need to allow people to serve us, and we need to serve. That's an, you know, and also contributing. Teaching. We have Kathy Collins. Is she here today? No. You know, her gift was just teaching. She had all the kids running around like banded roosters, jumping around, and she grabbed them, and all of a sudden, you know, they're reciting scriptures, they're talking, and they're spiritual and everything. And that was her gift. She just did such a great job with that, teaching. And we have people that teach classes. We have Rick. Rick's sitting about that. Well, you know, he's a teacher, and he teaches high school and college. He teaches it all. But when you're in one of his classes here, there's something about that class, isn't it? It's just something special. He just touches you. He has the right questions, and, you know, he gets you to read your scripture or whatever. That's a gift. He just said he's a chemistry and physics teacher. And that's why we hit it off. I was a chemistry major in college. I mean, me and him are bam, we're right there, you know what I mean? But he says something that's interesting. He said, you know something? I just love teaching chemistry and physics. You know, that's not a physical gift. That's a spiritual gift he has. And he's sharing it. And when you have somebody teaching chemistry and physics who's a Christian, those kids are going to get more than their $122 an hour out of that. They're going to get something that God has planned for them. That's his spiritual gift right there. Teaching, and we appreciate him doing it. We have some teachers here that haven't taught yet. So we need to teach. If that's your gift, you know, we'll find a place for you to teach, believe me. We'll find a place for you to get together with the little kids or the older kids like me. We will let you teach. If that's your gift, God wants you to use it to build the kingdom. He has challenged you to go out and make disciples. He wants you to encourage each other daily while still called today. So that's kind of what he wants to do. And as far as encouragement goes, you need to be careful, too. We're talking about this in the class this morning, criticism. God wants us to be encouragers. I would rather lean over to encouragement side and let somebody slide on a couple of things than always hammering somebody about something, you know, because we want to be able to draw people to Christ, you know. So whatever we can say to encourage somebody, you know, that's just a spiritual gift, encouragement. Whatever we can say to bring them in, to talk to them. I'm hoping maybe this summer, later on summer, we can have a Bring Your Neighbor Day or Bring Your Friend Day. I used to love to have those, and I coordinate them. Because we need to have people know God. And one of the steps is to bring them around you people. You know, the reason Dolores and I came to this church, we had left Northland, and we moved up to Patasa, and we went to another church out in Newark. Where's that, Dolores? Newark or something like that. And, you know, the preacher was pretty good, and this kind of thing. But I kept telling, you know, something's missing. I don't know what it is, but something's missing. And she was saying, oh, maybe this and that. I said, no. I said, well, let's go, and I'm not sure how we got back here to Reynoldsburg. I was asking her today, how do we get to Reynoldsburg? You know, she said, well, we went to Wagner Road. I said, no, not that, but. But when I came in here to Reynoldsburg, it was different. People came up and hugged us and, hey, how you doing? What's going on? And you know, the love was there. The love was there, reaching out. And we, here in Reynoldsburg, it's just there. People care about you. They spend time with you. They love you. And that's the difference. That's what God's people are supposed to be doing. So that's what we want to do. We want to take the master touch, and that's our master touch, to touch people through love, kindness, through generosity, through prayer. That's what we need to be doing. There's so many ministries we can do that in. I mean, you have Guyana, you have the food ministry and helping people and a community dinner. We have the teaching ministry here. We just have so many, you know, the youth ministry. We have teenagers. We have so many things going on. God wants you to pick, you know, where your gift is and to help and to nourish and to those kind of things. It's really simple. It's not easy, but it's really simple. We have a number of people here with young babies and who are pregnant, that kind of thing. Spend some time with them. You know, especially if you're a grandparent or you're older or you don't have any kids or whatever. It's such a blessing to watch these little kids run around and just spend some time with them. It just is. That's something else that could be a ministry of yours. We have people that do that. They just take time and with little kids, even though they may not have any little kids in their house. There's different things that you can do. So the master touch. As far as teaching goes also, you guys probably remember a great teacher in your life. I had Mr. Oliver, and I'm about wrapping up here. I had Mr. Oliver, and he taught us all the, I'm not supposed to do this, but he taught us all the states and capitals. So now I'm going to tell you all of them, just so you know. Augusta, Maine, Concord, New Hampshire, I'm not going to go through all of them, but he taught us all. And that's when I was in fifth grade. He was a great teacher. He encouraged us and that kind of thing. So what I'm saying as far as teaching, as far as your spiritual gifts, do memorable things in people's lives, not just your family's life, your kids' life, but do memorable things. Jeremiah 29:11, we're going to be ending with this thought here. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. God has a pathway for us. He has a way he wants us to go. And I think as God has touched us and we go touch people, it shows what our pathway is. Shannon earlier, I told her I'm going to miss her name, but Shannon earlier talked about that. It's difficult as a Christian. There's so many things going on. What's our path? What do we need to be doing when we're so very, very busy? And that's a good question. But the part of the answer is you're doing something if you answer that. You know, you're already moving. You're already doing what God wants you to do. You just got to hone it down. But we all have a pathway. Pray about that. Find out what that pathway is for you through God. And it doesn't matter what age you are. If you're, you know, young or older, if you're more mature, God has something he wants you to be doing this week, this day, this year. And he's going to bless that with a lot of different blessings. Just people just have so many great touches. I remember my wife's mom, I told her to talk to her about it. I mean, talk about it. Miss Thelma. She passed away a couple years ago. But when she used to, call us, she, of course, wanted to talk to Dolores. But she spent time with me. I mean, just minutes. Charlie, how you doing? How's everything? What's going on? How's work? She spent time just talking to me and encouraging me. And it just was an effect on my life. So I really appreciate that. You can just do so many things by just a kind word, by a hug, by a smile, by a prayer. God wants you to do that. He wants you to touch people just as Jesus touched people. And Jesus didn't touch all the good folk, did he? You notice that? It's easy to touch people you love, your kids and stuff. Jesus touched who? Touched the lepers. He touched the blind. He ate with the tax collectors. All the bad people. It's like, you know, he wanted to be with the bad boys. He touched them and he changed their lives. God is calling us to touch people and to change their lives. Let's pray. Most Holy Father, we thank you for being here with us, God, and just talking about the touch of the Master. We want to become more like Jesus as we've been touched, God, to reach out to people in any way we can, through music, through prayer, through meals, through love. God, just show us how to do that. People, put people in our pathway so we can touch them, God. Allow us to be strong and mighty, just as you've told us we can be. No weapon formed against us will prosper, God. We want to build up this church here, God. So many great people here, and we have a great God that's ministering over us. God, just thank you for all the things you've done, and thank you for the things you plan to do. These things we offer in your son's name. Amen. Now, if you need some prayer right now, if you want somebody to sit down and pray with you, you have some things going on in your life, we ask you to come forward and let the elders pray with you. It doesn't have to be anything big. It may be big to God and small to you. It may be small to you, but God wants to intervene in your life. So please, as we sing, come forward so we can pray with you.